innercitygeeks.net. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the InterCities Podcast. It's Steve here. This is episode 321. And joining me today, I got Brian. What's up? Is going on, dude? It's been forever. Yeah, I know. It's been a while.
No. Don't quote that because he.
I know. Yeah, but it's such a good song. how you doing, bro?
That whole band is stained. If you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, literally, completely stained. Mm-hmm. Like shitty underwear. Yeah, buddy. What's up, Mario? What's good, dude?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, dude, it's been a while. You haven't been around for a bit. Technically, the show hasn't been around for a few weeks, but that's mostly because we're adults. We do shit. We try to figure shit out, of course. So what's good, dude? How you been, man?
Been all right, all things considered. Just all beaten and bruised from work, but
beaten and bruised is the bestest.
Mm-hmm. So
getting so deflated, dude. Yeah, I get it. That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's completely understandable, dude. Times are tough
right now, indeed.
Yeah. But the good thing is that there's always, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel.
Firm believer.
Yeah, there you go. See, positivity, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Positivity, dude. See? Mario has a good point there.
He does. the biggest thing in New York City right now, catchphrase wise, is stay positive but test negative.
That's hilarious. That's pretty funny. Yeah.
I've been hearing it on the train a lot. There's all, you know, the so called performers that do music on the train.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've gotten the same guy about three or four times now, and it's always like, the power of positivity.
The power, we've got the power. Other than the power of Grayskull, we got the power.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, it's so funny, like the guy always yells out, stay positive, test negative. But I've been seeing that around in the city, too. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense for, you know, the way times are at the moment, you know, you got to make sure that you protect yourself.
The post darkened times.
Yeah.
Pandemic times.
Yeah, it's still somewhat dark, but it's still there.
Yeah,
it's slowly getting away.
So on March 7th, my Facebook memories popped up, and it was the baby shower.
Oh wow!
And it was. Thinking like, holy shit, like that's the last time people are outside hanging out in a large gathering before the world ended.
Yeah, word.
You know, like just shy after that, they told my wife to stay home. And then there was like, oh, we can't, we're not doing the St. Patrick's Day parade this year. So all the drunken idiots had to be drunken idiots inside.
Yeah. Where they should be. Yeah.
Although a lot of them fuckers are underage, so I don't know. It's not like they could DoorDash because they card.
Yeah. Well, back then, you didn't really DoorDash liquor like that.
Yeah, this is true. That actually started pandemic.
Yeah.
Now you can actually order anything of any beverage on like a restaurant, DoorDash, or just on its own. There's like liquor stores on DoorDash.
Drizzly. You get Drizzly. That's another one.
Oh, that too.
That sells the liquors and shit.
They've been around a long time. Mini bar too. Yeah. But those things blew up after the pandemic or during. Because we can do this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, which shit. You have people drink. It, this one bar by my store that I managed back then was doing panic pouches. It was literally like an IV bag of liquor.
Nice. That's pretty genius, though.
It was good. I mean, I still remember drinking like a margarita, like out of a bag that was like a liter.
Nice. Hell yeah.
That's you get like a froze. You get like a froze in a bag. I was like, okay.
That's pretty awesome.
You know, just do the tap. You know, I want it. I need it.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Straight to the veins.
Straight to the veins.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah.
My alcohol, it's sterile.
Exactly. It's quote unquote healthy. Yeah, can do it. Yeah.
So, watch anything those good? Times. Oh, I've been watching a ton of good.
Lucky you, Mario.
Yeah.
It says his liquor store is always open and it's always a block away.
That's great.
Oh, yeah, dude.
But no, I've been watching a ton of good. Been trying to go to a movie a week.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. So, like, shit, since I've spoken to you guys last, right, I spoke about The Whale for sure.
Yes. You spoke about that a couple of times.
I did, actually. So I went to two movies in a row. And that was, actually, no, I did three movies in a row. Wednesday.
Bear. I know Cocaine Bear was one of them.
Oh, yeah. So it started with Knock at the Cabin.
Oh, what did you think about that one? Because I loved it when I saw it.
I thought it was Shyamalan's best film with twists in about 15 years.
Absolutely, dude. Old is pretty good too, though. But this one was better than Old.
See, I didn't see Old.
I saw Old after I watched the Cabin at the Knock at the Cabin.
I thought this was really fucking good. I thought Batista was spectacular.
Yeah. He is a very serious actor.
Very serious actor. David Batista acted very seriously, and he was fucking fantastic.
Absolutely. Like, he held the show.
The 5 minutes that Rupert Grint was in this movie.
He was fucking great at it, too.
It was great. But I like how it all tied together.
Mm-hmm.
That one little twist was actually, well, it was sort of like they were all involved in these people's lives at some point. And I like that it wasn't the exact Four Horsemen, but it was like that take on it, because it was nurture, guidance, malice, and healing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's aren't the actual Four Horsemen, it's Pestilence. Just listen to
because if you think about it, it's more like you want them to save the world, so you don't want to have the original Four Horsemen. You want to have these other ones, the essentially what you could call like the four angels of trying to avoid the apocalypse, which is fucking great. It was a great little take on you know what could have been if you know. Shit really hit the fan in the world.
Right.
Which is what I loved about it. I fucking loved the entire thing. I was like, yes, this is great. The twist was a good twist. The story was a good story. Acting was fucking insanely good. Everybody was great in it.
Like,
even the little girl was great. I was like, okay, I can take it. I'll see her do pretty much anything from now on. And I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really good. And then the movie I saw after that was Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it had a very Star Wars vibe to it because of the sci-fi.
Fair, yeah.
It was a fun movie. I enjoyed it. Post credits were great.
Okay.
It truthfully, no matter how good the movie was or wasn't, Jonathan Majors stole the movie.
Yeah, which we kind of figured from the very get. I, of course, have not seen this movie yet. Mostly not, not because like I have no sentiments and actually wanting to go and see it. Like, I am excited for it, and I was excited for it, but also, like, I was like, do I really want to shell out like $13 to go see it? Not really.
All I know is that the way he portrayed Kang, the way he portrayed Kang was primarily so chilling that he essentially was so charming. Right? He was so charming that it was scary.
Yeah. It's essentially what like a bit of an extension of what we saw previously in Loki. And how he was essentially that same type of character, from what I'm gathering. It was the same thing, the same dude, but just with a slight little bit of aggression there.
Right. So he was just super chilling. And it was just, agreed. He was the best part of the movie. Although, as much as I agree with that, I will also say Michelle Pfeiffer. I can literally watch her in anything. I
said that years ago.
I mean, she's aging like a fine wine. I'd watch this woman watch golf, and it'd be a great time.
You're kind of pushing it there. Yeah. Watching golf is like fucking watching paint dry. That's how I feel about golf. Yeah, it's a sport for people. I just think it's just boring as fuck. That's just me. I'm sorry.
No, but point is, the movie was decent, but Major stole it, and I'm seriously all in for him as Kang and any other incarnation.
And pretty much anything else, yeah. Mario continues saying that he was better in Creed as well, Creed 3.
Okay, so he's I still need to see two. But I
Creed 2 is pretty dope.
They actually just dropped on HBO, so I'm probably gonna watch. Yeah, I'm probably gonna watch both of them at some point within the week. Okay. And then the third movie was fucking Cocaine Bear.
Fucking Cocaine Bear.
My God, that was a thing of beauty.
Dude, it's fucking fantastic. You go in, don't think about anything, enjoy the fuck out of the movie.
And I loved how over the top campy it was on purpose.
Yeah.
And I loved
Elizabeth Banks did an amazing fucking job with this.
She did. You know who's actually really fucking young Han Solo? Who looked a lot like young Ray Liotta in that movie. So that was great casting by him to play his kid. And fucking O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Fucking great. The comedy. Ice Cube Jr. was fucking great, dude.
Ice Cube Jr. was fucking great. and so, like, my God.
Dude, the fact that they took a real story that didn't have a good ending into it. Original bear wound up dying, but the fact that they were able to take this little itty bit of the story and just stretch it and just change it just so much that you're just like, this is fucking great.
I love that every time you thought the bear was dead and it was actually pretty fucking dead, the little whiff of powder went in the air and they zoomed in on the bear's nose going
yep
and just like ingesting more you know who's actually really good in that movie was the fucking dude from Modern Family.
Yeah, he was good.
He was the one that gets like ripped to shreds in the tree.
Yeah, he was funny. The paramedic dude is fucking great.
Oh yeah.
When
like I fucking Margot Martindale was a badass in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I love that like you hear like she goes through hell and she survives the first attack, and then she survives the attack in the ranger station. But then mm-hmm. like and you think the paramedics get away. Spoiler alert. Who cares?
Yeah.
You see
it in the trailer slightly.
Yeah, yeah. But like the bear with all that coke rage jumps in, she goes flying out of the fucking ambulance face first. Dude,
that was wild, dude.
Like you just watch her go like and like okay, she like died like grated cheese.
It was literally Skid Row.
Yeah. But honestly, this is another movie where the kids were great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially the boy.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was really like question good. Where he was questioning like the effects of cocaine.
Yeah. Felicity fucking, was great, dude.
Yeah, she was fantastic. And like she's like, I know you did cocaine. I'm a mom. Like I know these things. But not only was the cast great in this fantastic fucking film in all the worst, best ways possible, cocaine cubs.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking
cocaine
great.
Cubs with their extra loud screeches. Oh,
the fact that they were just hunting for it. They were like, just give me more. Give me more.
Yeah. And, oh, man. Great. What a final film for Ray Liotta.
Yeah, yeah.
Died getting his guts ripped out and then, you know, mm-hmm. just actually dies. Yeah. So,
it was fantastic, dude. I really loved it.
Oh, my God. It was so fucking good.
Yeah.
Not
a dull moment throughout the entire thing. It was straight up from the beginning to the end. Nonstop amazingness.
So what I like to do, because traditionally I'm off work on Thursdays. So what I like to do is Wednesday night go to a movie. And I traditionally go to the Conrad Hotel Regal Theater.
Okay.
Because who's going to a movie on a Wednesday night at like 10 o'clock? You know?
Not many people.
So it's like when I saw, first off, a couple of months back when I saw A Plane, which I think I told you guys mm-hmm. I watched, which is getting a sequel called Ship, which I thought was a joke, but it's actually true. And it's going to be a Mike Coulter based film. It's going to be his, where he left off. But,
fair.
So
essentially, is this going to be like the new version of Speed?
Who knows?
Because Speed was, you know, on a bus. And then Speed 2 was on a boat.
Right. True point. So, when I saw that movie, I like to buy my ticket on Fandango because I get deals. And mm-hmm. and yes, kids, I'm not old. I use Fandango.
Well, at least you're not using movie phone. So
yeah, true. I don't even think that exists anymore. So
I think it's only online now.
I still remember going and having to call the theater and get the automated mm-hmm. messages.
Yep, yep.
Or look at and to coordinate that with the time that was written in the actual newspapers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, kids. We are that old.
We are.
We're the best generation. Absolutely. And so what happened is that when I got my ticket to Plane, I got it in the morning, and it wasn't until I got into the theater that I was no longer the only person to see that movie. And the movie had just come out. I was like one of like three.
Nice.
With Quantumania, I was like one of four. Cocaine Bear, one of three. Yeah.
Nice.
That's it for movies. I skipped this week because nothing's out really until well, today was Scream 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna go on Wednesday.
I want to see that one.
Well, 5 was great.
Yeah.
5 took it up to 5 took it back up to like 1 and 2 level good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because
from what I'm hearing, this one's good too.
Ghostface Takes Manhattan.
Yeah. I like it.
And Manhattan looks a lot different than when Jason took it.
Yeah, big time. Hugely different.
Very, very different Times Square. Well, you know what happened is that Giuliani sent Jason Voorhees out to kill all the hookers.
That tracks so much.
Right? That tracks.
That tracks so much.
So now Ghostface. So Eric Adams hired Ghostface to take out all the hipsters and vegans.
I was just thinking that exact same thing. Yeah. That makes complete fucking
sense.
It
makes a lot of sense. Yes. That tracks too. So, aside from movies, been watching some shit.
Okay.
I caught up on Mandalorian, of course.
Okay. See, I need to watch today's episode, which is last night's episode or whatever.
I watched it last night.
Yeah. And I also need to watch the last episode of The Last of Us as well.
Okay. I'm caught up on The Last of Us.
It's been a great. Both of these shows have been fucking. I enjoy the first episode of Mandalorian. Fucking good.
Yeah.
Good, solid opening.
It was short, but on purpose.
Yeah.
They have their reasons. And just like Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni already have a script for the fourth season with no ending in sight.
Mm-hmm. Which it's good, but it's also like. Kind of gives me that like, okay, don't rush. Please don't rush it. It makes me think like, why say anything? Don't say anything until
I will take a straight up 5-season Mandalorian and call it. Because any more than 5 seasons, you risk being supernatural, which should have ended after season 5.
Yeah, when they were originally planning on ending it.
Yeah.
When it was originally canceled, that was for season 5. But they kept it.
That was during the writer's strike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were like, oh my God, these kids love watching this shit.
Which the writer's strike is also the reason why Jesse Pinkman stayed on Breaking Bad past the first season.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm caught up on Mandalorian, caught up on The Last of Us, which... The latest episode was down to the vivid detail for me playing the game. I'm like, okay, they changed like 1 or 2 things as they do for TV, but they primarily kept it perfect. Gotta say, I'm thrilled. And I think we only have, what is Sunday, the finale?
Yep.
Like, how'd we go through nearly 9 episodes already?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yep. That's
what happens when you have like good writing on something that was originally good in first place, put together really well for a different medium than what we originally had.
And oh my God, such a great fucking show.
Yeah.
And then I have to watch it at some point later, but I'm pretty much caught up on Poker Face.
Okay.
Which I enjoy Poker Face. Natasha Lyonne is great in that role, and all the celebrities that have been guest appearances on these episodes have been fantastic.
You've been telling me it's good, and I've been like debating about actually watching it.
It's mostly definitely worth it.
Yeah.
Then you got I've been watching a lot of TV. I'm reacquainting myself with Better Call Saul because I had stopped after season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because just life got in the way, and then I decided to say, screw it. By the time I watch it with my wife, I'm going to just like, not, you know, I'm never going to watch it. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to put it on. And it's really a solid series. It connects Breaking Bad perfectly. Okay. And I like that. Just like Bad, it's just five seasons and that's it. And then, I guess lastly for things, I started the second half of season four of You earlier today.
Ooh, damn. The second half is already out.
Yeah. It came out today and I got shit. Three more episodes. It's only six episodes.
I gotta watch the whole thing.
Oh yeah.
The whole season, the latest season, I have to watch the whole thing then.
Right. So you haven't seen any of this season yet.
Of this season, no. I've seen all the other ones multiple times.
Yeah. Like, it's a fantastic show. It's so fucking creepy, too. It's like, how do we love Joel Goldberg? Meanwhile, like, we know he's like the biggest piece of shit in the world. It was like, how do we like Dexter?
Yeah. Absolutely. You know what it is? Because he's a lovable serial killer, dude. Yeah. That's the fucked up shit about it.
Goldberg is a lovable stalker.
Yeah. That winds up killing everybody because he doesn't give a fuck. He wants whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Either you take it or you fucking die.
And what I was texting you earlier, this is the book that I'm reading right now.
Oh, Hollywood Said No.
Yeah.
Written by Bob Golden Kirk, David Cross.
David Cross and Brian Presain. Yeah. So, back when we met and I was doing security, forget her name, but she worked for the company and she was like, whenever you need a book, let me know, I'll get you a copy. So I've had this for 10 fucking years.
You've never read it?
I've outside of the first four pages, which was just like the intro.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to continue it, and then I just never did for whatever reason. But this goes to show you how fucking long ago that the shit's been.
I just saw the bookmark. Yep.
Comic-Con 2012 was the bookmark.
Holy shit, dude.
And I'm just shy of 60 pages into this thing right now, and I just started it today.
Okay.
Because it's their ideas for movie scripts,
mm-hmm.
like that they wanted to do after Mr. Show.
Fair, yeah.
And it's so off the rails in the best way possible. Because look at it like you're reading it through the eyes of David Cross, Bob Odenkirk, and Brian Posehn.
Yeah. Three great writers. Great comedic minds.
So it's an older book, but definitely worth checking out. So
it's still a book, regardless.
Yeah.
It looks awesome. Yeah. I am excited for it. I want to see it. I want to read it.
It's fucking great. So what you been up to?
What have I been up to? Well, I've been doing a lot of shit. Mostly I've been doing the gym, like I've been saying previously, like I've been doing the gym at least four times a week.
Good.
And it feels good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling better. Today was my first time with a trainer in a few months because they got rid of the first. No, they didn't get rid of him, but the trainer that I was working with, he got transferred to another location. So they didn't have anything. So I was doing everything myself.
Okay.
I took some of the things that he taught me.
I was going to say, they're called trainers. They train you for what you need
Yeah, exactly. I was doing the thing that he trained me just until whatever happened or whatever. So I went the other day and I was like, yo, like, are you guys going to get another trainer in or whatever? And the dude was literally standing there. He was standing there for a few weeks and, like, nobody said anything to me. They knew that I was taking a trainer before, but they were just like, but also it's my fault because I didn't even ask, you know, what you have to do, you know, like like the saying goes, like, you know, closed mouth don't get fed. So that's kind of my fault for not saying anything, but yeah, he he was like, yo, like, okay. So we sat down, we had a little consultation or whatever, we spoke and everything. And then he was like, yo, like, okay, so we'll do Tuesdays and Thursdays with him. So today, Thursday was my first day with him. And it's pretty good. Cause I told him my the issues that I have or whatever. My main issues, like my legs or like one of my legs, my right leg is so pretty. It's pretty weak for the most part. Like my left leg is perfect. But my right leg, after certain times, like if I walk too much or if I drive for too long, it just gets weak. So like I'll be walking or whatever and I'll start limping and stuff like that. So he was like, all right, but so today we did a lot of leg works, which is perfectly fine with me. Like I got no problem doing whatever. And I'll take that, you know, as a challenge. And I always try to push it and do what I got to do for it. So like, first thing, something that I've never done is fucking lunges and shit. Did that, and I was like, oh my god, what the fuck is happening with me? Which was cool. Like, oh, like, fuck it, I'll do it. Then I also did, Mario says I may have nerve damage. Possibly. I went to the doctor last week or the week before, and they did, like, fucking, like, an ultrasound and everything on my leg and shit like that. Like, and nothing really. They didn't say anything, so It could be something like that. I don't know. It could be like a pinched nerve that I may have further up that's like preventing shit from actually working properly in my leg. But yeah, so we'll see. So I did the lunges or whatever, something that I've never done before. Also, I went to another machine that literally, like, it's for the glutes or whatever, but you're extending your leg completely. Which is fucking, okay. I felt fucking amazing. Like just pushing back. Like you're standing in one place and you're pushing back all the way with both legs. You do one leg and then you stand up and you do the other one. I just felt fucking great. I just did it with like, you know, 55 pounds to start. Well, he started at 45, but I was like, yo, like I need a little bit more. I wanted a little bit more. Cause he was like, yo, if you're not feeling it, then you got to go higher. So I did 3 reps of those and I was like, okay. The first rep was like at 45. I didn't really feel much. So I was like, fuck it, let's bump it up. Didn't really feel much second set either. So I was like, fuck it, let's bump it up even more. Third set, I was like, this is perfect. And we did it. Rocked it out. She was fucking great. I was like, okay, I like how this is going. And then we also did squats on the dumbbell machine. Something that I've never done that either because I'm not a fan of doing squats. I've tried it before. It fucking sucked ass. And I was like, nope, never again. But I did 3 sets of 10 with like, what was it? Like 45 pounds. For somebody that's never done anything like that, it felt good. It felt real good, especially, you know, since I'm on the machine that doesn't let me, like, it keeps me in form and it works.
Okay.
So yeah, it felt good. I was like, okay, I'll take it. It made me feel good. Then we did a few more things and I was like, okay, I like this dude. I was able to do a whole hour with him with no problem.
Good.
And yeah, so we'll see how things work out. I'm excited. Like, yeah, I've been doing a lot of shit on my own, but the fact that now I have a trainer that knows what he's doing, that can guide me to do things that, like, I haven't done before, and actually be around in case, you know, I need help.
Yeah, exactly, I was going to say.
Yeah, so yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty dope. And also the fact that, like, my gym, like, it's a free trainer, so I don't mind. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Something else that I've been doing, obviously, I'm still doing the 365 hour challenge.
I've noticed on Twitter.
Yeah. I post everything that I've watched pretty much on Twitter. And, at this very moment, I am at 98 of 365. And
the whole point.
It's good.
The whole the whole point of 365 though is to do one per day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
it is. So it is, that is you're right. That is essentially the point of it. But like I said before, the reason I'm doing I'm like ahead of schedule is because there are days that I'm not gonna be doing things. I'm not gonna be able to watch it. Like today that we're recording right now. After we're done with this, I'm pretty much gonna go to sleep because one, I'm tired from the fucking gym. And then also like by the time we get off of here, it's probably like 11 o'clock and shit. And I'll be like, I'm gonna go to sleep. Yeah. I gotta wake up tomorrow to go to work. So like days like today or like days when like I have the kids and stuff like that and I really can't do it, or like days that I'm working and shit like that because of when I'm working at the stadium and stuff like that, I don't really have time for it. Especially like next week, not this week now, but like next week we have the innings festival, which is going to be pretty dope. I worked it last year.
I remember that.
Yeah, but it should be pretty cool. Obviously I'm going to be there all day. So I won't have any time to watch anything because I'll be there, managing the crowd and, you know, helping all the artists that are going to be there. You know, some of the artists are going to be there. It's pretty cool. Imagine Dragons is going to be there, which is pretty dope. They have a lot of good music out.
Their first album was their best one.
I agree.
But they're still good. Yeah.
It is a very vast amount of people that are going to be there, which is insane because one of the other headliners is Weezer, which is fucking fantastic. I really like Weezer. One that like stands out is Pitbull's going to be there. So eclectic. Really? And then the other one that like throws it off completely is fucking Dave Matthews Band.
He's a chill as fuck dude.
Right. I know. But like the fact that like this whole lineup is just completely eclectic, completely different than what you would expect from most festivals. It's a 2-day event. And there's a lot of bands happening. So obviously I won't be able to watch anything that weekend.
Yeah.
So figured there's 2 days that I can't watch anything. So yeah, it's fun. But you know, I've watched a lot of good shit.
You know, it's really funny because at work the other day, whatever radio station was on Pandora, Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls came on. And
nice.
And then
I met them last year.
And so what happened is that the joke was that we were gonna change the song because, and I was like, I like the song. And he's like, it's creepy as fuck. It's about a stalker. And then I was like, it's no worse than Dave Matthews Crash Into Me.
Yeah.
And really so I kid you not, as soon as Iris ended, fucking Crash Into Me started playing.
Nice. It's like they heard you. Like they heard you say. Yeah.
Oh, so before we get into geek shit, fucking how did I forget to tell you guys that a week ago tonight I was at Tremonti Sing Sinatra.
That's what I was kind of pointing at earlier. I was like, why didn't you say that? It looked like a fun show. It looked like a really fun show.
In a nutshell, it was a fantastic show. It was unlike any event for music I've ever been to. Nice. There were no barricades with security telling people to back away. In fact, it was Mark sitting on stage encouraging people to come closest as possible to the stage so you can sing to them while they dance.
Nice.
And I'm gonna write about it. I got the title sort of in my head. I got sort of like bits and pieces of wording how I'm gonna do this. Just need to find the time. In fact, I airdropped all the pictures and video from my phone to the iPad. And my God, it was the greatest experience I had. I there was so much into this that this was only $150 and all of it went toward NDSS for the Down syndrome. It was Mark's kid,
right,
who just turned 2. Little Stella just turned 2 today. I saw it on Twitter. Nice. And God, in a nutshell, so I get dressed, I'm looking all amazing in my suit. I looked like a Kenneth Cole fashion model because my suit, my tie, my shoes, and my belt were all Kenneth Cole Reaction. My shirt was just expensive. My, you know, like, I'm just looking very, very stylish. And then,
you're looking very dapper.
I was very dapper. And so what happened is that I get to this thing, and what's really special about this event was that it was held last Thursday, March 2nd, and I'm a Tremonti fan, and my dad, who would have been 75 on Tuesday, was a Sinatra fan. So it kind of like the stars aligned, and this was possible. And he was with me the whole night. I felt his presence. And so, like, first off, I get to the bar, and it's all high-end fucking open bar. So I'm like, I'm just going to drink my Callan 12 because it's free. And I love scotch. Scotchy. I met a couple people just for the night, you know, talking whatever. But like, I essentially just walked throughout this event like I owned the place.
Nice.
I just had that confidence built by, like, confidence galore, I guess. And then as I make my way to the front of the event, I see Alter Bridge's drummer, Flip Scott Wilson, sitting there. And it's so weird to see, like, rock musicians in suit and ties, you know, because you know them in one way, but yet here they are for, you know.
You're used to just seeing them in, like jeans and sneakers and t-shirts. And,
like, sweaty shirts, yeah. But you figure they're also people, and they wear suits to go to events, you know. It's no different than watching the Oscars and seeing, like, you know, people in suits. Basically... talked with him for like 10 minutes, got a picture with him. He was chill as fuck. Which he was also chill as fuck when I met him in 2019 after I saw Alter Bridge at PlayStation. And then as I mingle more, next thing I know, I'm having a one-on-one conversation with Mark Tremonti himself as he's holding his kid. We sort of bonded over being girl dads, you know.
Of course.
And like, I was like, she's beautiful. He's like, thank you. And I was like, and he's like, she looks just like me. And I was like, I can see that. And I was like, now, if you know, I show you mine. And I showed him the picture of my kids. And I was like, one is me and one is their mom. And he called my kids gorgeous. I was like, thank you. You know, and just had a really grand old talk. I told him about the whole thing about the birthday, yada, yada, yada. But the real kicker, after I got the picture with Mark and I was on my way out, this larger bald dude with a goatee was just hanging around, and I'm looking at him and I'm like, why do you look so familiar? And he made the joke of like, what, all larger bald fat dudes or goatees, you know, look the same. Yeah. And I'm like, haha. And he goes, do you like baseball? I'm like, yeah. He goes, David Wells.
Fucking A, dude.
I was like, son of a bitch. I was like, can I get a picture with you? He's like, yeah, come on. And, you know, pitched a perfect game while intoxicated with the New York Yankees. But then I think the true, like, holy shit moment of the night was when, like, I see this young group. See this young group hanging by the exit, all, you know, dressed up and whatever. And they're like, I don't know, 13 to like 15. And I just casually walk over. I'm like, I find it great that people know who Mark Tremonti is, but I like that the younger generation knows Sinatra. Like, that gave me sort of like a glimmer of hope in kids with like music.
And yeah, like, that's what it is. Like, it's a glimmer of hope that you want them to continue that path and to continue to listen to shit like that. Because it's pretty much, like, if you think about it, it's like a lost. It's a lost gem from back in the day.
But the real kicker of this whole part was after I said, how do you guys know Tremonti and Sinatra? The youngest of the bunch turns to me, goes, oh, yeah, that's our dad.
What?
And I was like, I was like, oh shit, okay. I was like,
nice,
great to meet you guys. Your dad's a talent. And they're like, yeah, he's great, but like we can't play guitar like he can.
Yeah, nobody expected him to play the guitar like he does.
Yeah. You know. But
be glad that he does. Like, be glad that he's making the money for you.
Exactly. And then I sent to the group, I'm like, okay, I was like, good to meet you guys, have a good night. You know, like good night. And then I'm walking out and I noticed like earlier throughout the night, like there were fedoras on the tables. Because you figure Sinatra, there's gonna be fedoras.
Yeah,
and so as I'm leaving, the woman who had checked me in was like, oh, there, thank you again so much for your support, yada yada yada. And she's like, hope you had a great time. I was like, I did, but I did not get one of these awesome fedoras. And so she says, oh, that one's unspoken for. Take this one. Nice. And so like I got the fedora. Biggest regret, I really should have walked back in and see if you would have autographed it, because you would have.
Yeah.
But I got the fedora literally hanging up on my proton pack right now.
Hell yeah, dude. That's badass, man.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I had such a phenomenal time. And there it is.
I can imagine, dude. Hell yeah, dude.
There it is, folks.
And that proton pack is fucking dope as fuck, too, dude.
It's heavy
as fuck. I've told you this before. I thought it was before, but that shit is fire, dude.
Yeah. It still needs a little bit of work, but we'll get there.
I don't know. I don't think it needs any work. No. I think it's pretty dope as is.
I still got a few more cosplay edits to do, but okay. Anyway.
Whatever, dude. It looks fire, dude. I like it.
Thank you.
I like it a lot. Okay, so it's time to get into the nooks and crannies of this fucking show, right? Because we've been all over the place, right? So
yeah, well, we had a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is what we do here. We catch up on shit all the times. So something that you brought this to my attention earlier, because
right?
Because
you didn't know about this.
I did not know about this at all, and speaking of Bob Odenkirk, who you read in the book of, whatever.
Yeah.
He's working on a remake of The Room, but this is for charity, of course. Yeah. But it's a remake of one of possibly the worst movies of all time.
A movie so bad that they made a movie about it.
Yeah. which is fucking hilarious. Like, I really enjoy the remake of it. Like,
I've never seen either film. I don't ever want to see The Room. I'll watch The Disaster Artist, but I've never, no intention to see The Room with the, oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah, it's, I've watched it because I tend to torture myself with a lot of things. But yeah, I watched it at one time, and it was I can see why it's a cult. It has a cult following, because one, it is complete dog shit, but it is entertaining dog shit. Like, you are fully invested in how shitty it is, and granted, it's not how it was originally expected. That's not what he expected to do. He was trying to make it a serious movie. But
yeah, but there was so many like that. Yeah.
There's so much what the fuckness in this. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's just amazing. Which I completely get it. Which is why also, like, I enjoyed the Disaster Artist as well, because like, it's shining the light on for people that don't know what the actual movie was about and how it actually went down. And then as you're watching it happen, you're like, oh yeah, that makes so much sense in how why they did it that way. And Disaster Artist is actually a pretty good watch. So if you haven't watched The Room, watch The Disaster Artist. And it'll probably will make you want to watch The Room. But yeah, it's a fun watch, like I said. But it's going to be interesting to see how they do this this little remake of it. I want to see how bad they do, especially since like Dave Odenkirk, well, Odenkirk is fucking great. Bob Odenkirk is fucking great. Like, he's a really good improv artist. So, and I wouldn't say comedian because he's just an improv, but he used to do improv and stuff like that. And he became a really good actor afterwards. So I want to see what they're gonna, what he's gonna do, and how he's gonna, you know, work this. It's a whole new thing. So
yeah,
I'm excited for it, dude.
And the fact that Mike Flanagan is behind it.
That's right. Yeah.
So I mean, Mike Flanagan, all like the greatest series on Netflix, and now going to be Amazon because of the deal. But like, I mean, just thinking about Midnight Mass still gives me chills because that was his best of his three series. But then for movies, I mean, the man has everything from Dr. Sleep to Hush, and a slew of others. But holy shit. So I wonder how we're going to do with this one, because it's not a horror genre, but he's just really good at writing.
Yeah.
So, and yeah.
You know, it'd be funny if they give it that horror twist in this one, which I'm not against it. Give anything a horror twist and I'm down for it, dude.
One of my favorite memes that you can only do on March 1st every year is it's the picture of Tommy Wiseau coming out of the for the rooftop scene for the Oh Hi Mark. And it's Oh Hi March.
Yeah. I like it.
You know how
like
quickly it. February ends? Yeah.
Oh hi. I didn't see you there. Yeah. I like it. What's some other news? Okay. Did you enjoy the original Detective Pikachu?
Never watched it, actually.
Okay, well, it is a fun watch. I really enjoyed that one.
I mean, it's Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
Pikachu, yeah.
Yeah. This was originally directed by Rob Letterman, which he did a really good job with. And I was like, okay, I was very, very excited about it. Made like $430 million in theaters worldwide. And I was like, okay, cool. And we heard that they were going to do a sequel for it. And that's cool. Awesome. Keep bringing it, because it's actually done really well. Like, I'm not a big fan of Pokemon, but the fact that they did it and they made it look good, not completely dog shit, because a lot of these, you know, CG and real life things kind of don't mesh well, but they did it really well. So I was like, okay, cool. I like what they did. Great acting, fun time, fun watch, definitely worth watching. If you haven't watched it, go check that shit out. But we got news that, of course, they are making a second part. And well, the weird thing about it is that it's going to be directed by Jonathan Christel, who was one of the co-creators of Portlandia.
Interesting.
Yes, very interesting. Portlandia is a fantastic fucking show. Very weird, obviously, because it is Fred Armisen just being weird most of the time, because it is another improv type thing. So I'm excited to see what we're going to do with this and how they're going to add that type of style to this whole Pokemon universe kind of thing, and how they make this work. Because is he a fan of it? Is he just going to throw random shit in there? But regardless, it should be still fun. Because, of course, like I said, he is a really good writer, and he has a good vision to where things can be. So I want to check it out. I'm kind of excited for it. I want to see what they're going to do with it. They might throw Fred Armisen in there as well, too. So who knows?
Yeah, I mean, who's just great in whatever he shows up in.
Yeah, dude, he was great in fucking Wednesday for just a couple minutes.
I was just about to say. Oh, yeah, he was in it for like two episodes. He was fantastic.
Yeah. Fucking great as fucking Fester. Like, he was a serial killer, too. I fucking loved it. It made so much sense for the show. I was like, okay, I'll take it. Why not? But it should be interesting. Pokemon's coming up on like its 25th anniversary or some shit, and so why the fuck not, right? Make shit work. Why the fuck not? Push it out there, because people love it. Even now, like Alex, you know, the dude that's here on the show. For those that don't know, he's huge into Pokemon. He pretty much has every single fucking game that's come out for Pokemon, even until now.
He pretty much plays it while recording on the show.
Yeah. The entire time. Pretty much the entire time that we've been recording. From when we started 10 years ago, he's been playing Pokemon on the show. He mutes it, obviously. But it's just still fucking wild that that's what he does. And that's cool. Like, that's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. I ain't mad at it.
Yeah.
But it's just fun.
It's just fun indeed.
Yeah. There's some other cool shit that came out this week. Something I'm kind of excited for. Like, I wasn't fully invested in this movie. I'm talking about Madame Web. I wasn't fully invested in it.
Yeah, me neither.
But I am somewhat like intrigued by this by the fact that they're trying to bring a whole new character into the spider. It's kind of like a spider type of spin-off, how they've been doing spin-offs of all these things. Like, they did Venom, and they're planning on doing Kraven and fucking, you know, all this other shit. I'm like, okay, I can see where they're going with it, especially bringing Madame Web and stuff into it. But they just casted Spider-Woman, which is very fucking cool, because Spider-Woman is one of those, you know, kind of like characters that within the Spider-Man universe that is just like not many people know about her very much. So the fact that they're bringing her into this is going to be pretty interesting, because this follows the whole, you know, female side of the Spider-Verse, because we see mostly see just fucking like Spider-Man all the time. And occasionally, recently, we've been seeing fucking Spider-Gwen or you know, Gwen Stacy as Spider-Woman or a what did they call her? They just called her Spider-Gwen, right? Like, they didn't have any other name. Spider-Gwen,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. So we see her as of late and stuff like that. But from what we've gotten in the news this week is that Sydney Sweeney, who we've seen in The Handmaid's Tale, that's where I saw her the first time. She was in one of the seasons. She's like 9 episodes of it. She's fucking great in that. But she's also recently in Euphoria, which she's, I haven't.
Fucking,
I
only saw oh my god, amazing in that show.
Okay. Well, she is supposed to be playing Spider-Woman. Very fucking exciting. This kind of gives me hope for this movie, because I wasn't like, you know, too really into this or whatever. I wasn't too like, oh my god, I want to see Spider-Woman or Madame Web. Like, it's one, because Madame Web is one of those, you know, those characters just like, eh, I can live without it. Don't really care. Not one of my favorite Spider-Man characters or sub characters or whatever. But now this kind of makes it interesting. I want to see what they're going to do with this. Because I'm excited for Kraven, but the fact that they're making him another anti-hero again. He's a fucking hunter. Yeah. Why are you making a hunter an anti-hero?
Like, we already had Morbius. Venom,
how we had Venom. He's an anti-hero too, but like, why are they giving all these villains anti-hero roles?
Why is this Kraven movie going to suck? And why is Morbius going to be the better one of the two shitty ones?
Oh, no, please, no. Morbius was a horrible fucking movie. I was trying to give it, you know, its justice back when I originally watched it. I was like, it's not bad, but it's there are certain things that are enjoyable about it.
I enjoyed the campiness of it.
Right. The thing is, I can somewhat agree with you, because I watch a lot of horror movies, and that's full of campiness. This the campiness of this art is not enjoyable campiness to me.
Okay.
Like, I see it. I see where you're coming from, but it just, it didn't really grab my attention to be like, oh my God, it's so fucking fun.
How about we stop putting Jared Leto in superhero movies? Because his acting skill is great, and he's best at, like, dramatic roles.
Right.
I mean, what the fuck is that movie that's on HBO? The Little Things? It was, it's probably not the name of the title, but it's the one that had fucking Denzel in it, along with Rami Malek.
Oh, the, it's based on a book. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like,
yeah,
he was great in that movie. He was chilling as fuck. But then it's like, you cast him as Morbius, just like you cast him as Joker.
Yeah. See, but the thing, like, I understand where they were trying to go with the Joker.
They were trying to take a movie and throw it in the garbage?
Yeah.
It's okay. Wrong. It's okay, kids. James Gunn is in charge of DC now.
Yeah, we can. Yeah,
we'll have more movies like,
yeah, the little things, what you're talking about.
So I was right. I called it the Little Things.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't say you were wrong. I was just, you know,
okay,
just fact checking. I mean,
I was doubting myself. So thank you for bringing that doubt to a negative.
Yeah,
turning it into the power of positivity.
Power of positivity. That's what we're all about here today. That's the episode title. Power of positivity.
Actually, I was thinking the episode title should be "Stay Positive, Test Negative."
Yeah.
And make it whatever title you want. It's fine.
Yeah. So jumping to the other side of the superhero universe, we have been like eagerly anticipating and wondering what the fuck is gonna happen with Thunderbolts. We've seen a bunch of shit come out, and then the fact that things are slowly brewing, and there are certain characters that are here, certain characters that aren't here. But one of the characters that I'm super fucking excited for is the thoughts, and technically it looks like it's happening, of Sentry. For those that don't know, Sentry is Marvel's version of Superman, right?
Right.
But he has multiple personalities. He is a completely broken superhero.
Yes.
Which is what I loved about Sentry. And from what it looks like, the huge report is saying that the voice of Invincible will be playing Sentry. The voice of Invincible, for those that don't know, was also Glenn on The Walking Dead.
Yeah, Stephen Yeun, who's done a lot of fucking work.
Yeah. This is pretty exciting for me. I am down for this, because Sentry is one of those characters that is very, 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 like, it's very weird, but if done right, it could be fucking fantastic.
God, can you imagine if that's actually true and he plays Sentry? That's going to be such a great fucking character to have live action by someone who's just a really good actor.
Absolutely.
And, like, you know, because if you're going to have someone, we've watched, you know, Stephen Yeun for many, many years on television and then his film work. But then, like, he has that ability to just be a very stoic faced, you know, character.
Mm-hmm. He's fucking good. He's a good fucking actor. But like, I'm down for it, dude. I'm excited for that. I want to see this.
Oh, hell yeah.
I want to see where they go with it, especially since, like, we don't necessarily have a superhero that's pretty super within the Marvel universe, you can say.
True point.
That's, like, very rare, like, oh, yeah, I can do pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Because what we've mostly seen is, like, okay, the closest one would probably be at the moment, who was it? Like, fucking Miss Marvel? Yeah. The closest one that had, like, pretty much, like, super football, super fucking powers. She could do pretty much anything and everything. She could fly, she mm-hmm. could run fast, she could do all the shit. Sentry is that exact same thing. It's very similar, like I've said before, it's very similar to the Superman. And seeing a broken Superman, who we've kind of hinted at, like, yeah, Superman has all these powers, but, like, they made him seem like a super goody two shoes and shit.
Yeah,
and that's not everybody can be that way. Not everybody is, you know, sunshine and lollipops all the time, and that's what this character brings, and I fucking love it. I'm gonna love it. It's one of my favorite characters. He's only been around for a little while. He's only been around for like about 20 years or so within the Marvel universe. But
yeah, I was gonna say he's not that old.
No, he's not. He's not. And it's like, okay, I like where this is going. I want to see more. I want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Something else. Something that kind of made me sad. We had Ron Perlman as Hellboy. We've also had David Harbour as Hellboy as well.
Yeah.
But it looks like they're recasting Hellboy once more. But they're kind of going for a younger version of Hellboy.
But just stop making newer Hellboy movies.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And it's going to be Jesse Casey, or Jack Casey, or whatever, and he's going to be playing Hellboy, which could be okay. They're going, obviously, for the younger route, the younger version of Hellboy. I want to see it. I want to see where this goes. Like, I enjoyed David Harbour's version of Hellboy. It was fun. It wasn't great. It wasn't like fucking Ron Perlman's version of Hellboy. But every person, every character, every actor brings something else to the character, which is what I do like. But I'm kind of excited to see what they're going to do, especially since they're going for a younger version of Hellboy. They're going to be supposedly following the Hellboy, the Crooked Man story, which could be pretty cool. So it could be good. This could be good. Especially, you know, I like seeing this type of horror type thing. So we'll see. Only that, of course, that's not, you know, as painstakingly happening is that it's not Guillermo del Toro behind it again. So it's okay. We'll see what happens when this comes out. Exactly when is it coming out? I don't know. But should be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
And allegedly, this new Hellboy movie, is going to be rated R. The last few ones have been rated PG-13, so this one should be rated R. Should be pretty cool. There haven't been a lot of, you know, superhero movies that are rated R late, so we'll see. We'll see. And then on to trailers, because we always talk about trailers, because that's what we do. And then, you know, there's a lot of shit that happens, especially, like, within Disney. Like, one thing that I was not privy of previously was that they're working on Peter Pan and Wendy, which is, of course, the modern retelling of the whole Peter Pan type story. And this was coming to Disney Plus sometime soon. But we got a trailer for it, and this one could be interesting. So let's watch the trailer for it, and we'll tell you what we think about it, even though we're not completely fucking invested in it yet. But let's see what this is.
Tell me, how did you come to Neverland?
Are you...
Lost boys.
Every last one of us.
But you're not all boys.
So?
What is this place?
It's home.
Peter found it. Just like he found all of us.
It's like he found me.
Peter Pan?
Were you expecting someone else?
What do you say, boys? You ready for an adventure?
It looks very far away.
It's closer than you think.
Ooh.
There, look!
What is it that you're afraid of, my love?
Perhaps I don't want to grow up.
Hold the past in your heart, but where you go from here, it's up to you.
Wendy, Moira, Angela, darling. Where is Peter Pan?
That actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, looks interesting.
That looks pretty good. Like, I'm kind of excited to see that. Like, not expecting it to be as entertaining as it was, that trailer. I'm digging it. I want to see where that goes. The acting, it seems pretty promising. Who's playing Hook? Did you see who's playing Hook?
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I didn't catch that either. But let me see. Let me check it real quick. Who's playing Hook and the Peter Pan and Wendy? Let's see. Who's playing Hook? From what it looks like, Captain Hook. Jude fucking Law.
Oh shit! Okay, I thought I recognized the voice.
Yeah. Jude Law. That's Hook. Guess who's playing Smee?
Who?
Jim Gaffigan. Makes complete sense. I'm in, dude. Jude Law's great.
He is.
Jim Gaffigan's fucking great. Oh, look. Looks like Alan Tudyk's in it, too.
What isn't he in?
Yeah, he's in a lot of shit. But yeah, Alan Tudyk is in it. He plays Mr. Darling. Don't know who that is. But yeah, it looks pretty promising, huh? I'm excited for it. Who's playing Tinkerbell? I've seen her before. Oh yeah, she was in Blackish. The daughter in Blackish.
Okay.
Yara Shahadi.
Yeah.
She's the one that's playing Tinkerbell. It's not bad. Not bad. Not a bad casting and stuff like that. Don't know who the younger ones that are playing fucking Wendy and Peter Pan are, but I'm kind of excited for this. I want to see where this is going. I want to see how this plays out. Because, of course, you know, I've always been a fan of the Peter Pan story, so seeing where this could possibly go is kind of like, kind of has me thinking. I mean,
yeah.
So let's see. And then the final trailer for this week. Something that like really, really made me fucking happy when I saw it. Because one, I kind of knew what was happening, but I was not completely sure of when it was gonna be happening. And what it was gonna look like, but we finally got a trailer for the newest Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem. Man, this looks pretty fucking good. I like it, so let's watch it.
Then I kid you. Yes, you can. Then I kid you. Yes, you can.
Let's try that again, but with ninja stars.
Hey, why did we pick a fruit shaped exactly like my head?
Just stop talking. You're ruining my concentration.
You're fine. Chill. He's gonna die. Yeah.
Ah. Wait, did you hear that? What was that?
Well, nothing we can do. You guys want to grab pizza?
Can I kick it? Can I kick it? Can I kick it? Can I kick it?
What the heck are those things? They look like little Shreks to me.
Can I kick it? Oh, we've prepared our whole lives for this.
Can I kick it?
Oh my god! Leo, what happened? Is Donnie bleeding? It was an accident. Mikey, watch out!
So, you were baby turtles who made contact with mystery goo.
Well, we prefer the term ooze, but yeah.
It's like more like, it's just nicer.
It rolls off the tongue better, yeah.
Ooze. Ooze.
It's nice, right?
Ooze.
I cannot wait for this.
This looks so fucking good, dude.
It looks so fucking good.
I'm a fan. Like, fucking Teenage Ninja Turtle stuff forever. It's had its ups and its downs.
Well, yeah.
Ninja Raps and then some other shit.
Its animation style is that very close to Spider-Verse level.
Yeah, it really is.
I'm just like, okay, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And
the fact that they're actually teenagers.
Yeah.
I'm down for this, dude.
I'm fucking down. Let's see. Oh my god. Are you ready for this the voice cast lineup?
What it is. Say it.
Paul Rudd is Mondo Gecko.
Nice.
Giancarlo Esposito is Baxter Stockman.
Hell yeah, dude. Fuck yeah.
Rose Byrne is Leatherhead.
I fucking love Rose Byrne.
This I knew about, but Jackie Chan is Splinter.
Oh, yes. I did not know that. That's awesome.
Permanent teenager himself, Seth Rogen, is Bebop.
Dude, I just thought about this. He's reprising his role as Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah, pretty much.
Jackie Chan reprises his role as Mr. Miyagi, but now as Splinter. Yes, please. Let's go.
So Seth Rogen is Bebop.
Okay. I'm not mad about it.
This one is fucking perfect casting. Rocksteady is John Cena.
Yeah.
I'm
not mad at it.
Trying to see who this chick is. Okay. Nastasia Dimitriou, she's you know her from fucking What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah. Maya Rudolph. So she's Wingnut. Maya Rudolph is Cynthia Ultron.
Okay.
Or Utrom. Did you watch? Eddie Berry. She was. Did you watch Chef? Not Chef.
No, I have not seen that. I have not watched that yet.
All right. So she was the sous chef on that show. She's great.
Okay.
She's April O'Neil.
Okay.
Ice Cube is Superfly.
Okay.
Post Malone is Ray Filet, which that's a great name. Hannibal Buress is Genghis Frog.
Love it. Love it. Oh my god.
As for the turtles themselves, they're
actual
teenagers. Okay. Yeah, Brady Noon is Raphael. The biggest credit for him was the Mighty Ducks TV show on Disney.
Okay.
The kid playing Leonardo, his biggest credit was Walking Dead.
Okay.
The kid voicing Michelangelo, the Chi. I don't know what that is. And then Donatello. Basically, like, he was in an episode of Grey's Anatomy. Like, so they're actual kids with, like, no real credit.
Okay.
That's dope. That's dope that they got, like, actual
kid actors. Yeah.
I'll
take it, dude.
But, like,
love it. Not grown men playing teenagers.
Exactly. But the fact that we got Leatherhead, Genghis Frog, Mondo Gecko.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Aside from your traditional Bebop Rocksteady.
Characters that we haven't seen in ages, dude.
Characters we haven't seen since the fucking cartoon.
Yeah. Like I said,
you know, ages, or their appearance in, like, the video games. Mm-hmm. But yeah. We're getting modern take live action or cartoon versions.
Yeah.
You know, by, like, modern day standard.
Mm-hmm. By modern in modern animation. Yeah.
That's fucking great. That's great. That's fucking great.
I am down for this, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot wait. Cannot motherfucking wait. So that's about it for the geek shit. Do you have anything else to add? Or are we pretty good?
No, we're good.
All right, yeah. So make sure you guys go and check out Interstate. We got a whole bunch of shit sometimes. And granted, yes, it is. This is very, very much sometimes. Of course, we got this show. We also have Suplex City Geeks, which we haven't done in a few weeks, but we may be doing an episode. Me and Alex may be doing an episode of talking about Elimination Chamber and what was the last one that we had? Revolution that happened this past weekend.
Yeah.
We may be doing that tomorrow. But
I will try to join you guys.
Ooh, fancy. But yeah, we got that. We also have Bright Shade Presents over there. We also got more of Comics Con Sabor, Manga Time, and Anime World. I haven't been posting the new episodes, mostly because I've just been lazy. More of those episodes should be coming very soon. Mario has actually been going out and actually doing a shit ton of them. He's already sent me like fucking like 12 of them. And I'm like, fucking dude. Nice. But that's cool. That's cool because he's been fucking slacking for ages. Talking shit, but I love him, dude. I love the dude. But yeah, we got more of those coming very soon. We also got a whole bunch of shit over there. Just check out all the stuff that we have over there on the website. On industrygeeks.net, obviously, like I said. We also got links to some pretty cool places. Of course, you know, we got Amazon, Sideshow Collectibles. Click some shit over there, get some toys. Beard Octane, type in ICD-10 for 10% off. Soul Sick Clothing, type in Industry Geeks for 15% off. CBDMD, and all the other places that are over there. I can't really brain right now. Oh, yeah. What the best place to go? Go to Fight TV. Click the link. Go to Fight TV. Watch some free shit over there. There's a lot of cool shit on Fight TV. A lot. And don't waste your time watching fucking slap boxing. Or like slap fight or whatever the fuck it's called. But yeah, go check out Fight TV. There's a lot of cool shit over there. Then you could find the show to listen to, obviously. You could find this on SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcast, and on motherfucking Spotify. Find us all over there. Then you can also find us on the socials or the facespace.com/InnerCityGeeks, Instagram at InnerCityGeeks, on Twitter at InnerCityGeeks. And where can we find you, Senior Bri?
You could find me on all the socials. You could check me out on Twitter and Instagram. Check out Bri 2G Presents. Of course, you can check out Bri2GPresents.com. Content will come soon. It's just been very, very challenging.
It'll show up when it shows up.
That's right. yeah. Follow me on all that stuff, YouTubes and stuff. And where can we find you?
You can find me on the Twitter and the Instagram at Mr. Jackal, MasterJackal. That about wraps it the fuck up. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate the fuck out of you guys. Yeah, granted, we've been away for a while, but we will be bringing up more shit soon. So check that out. I also have a project coming very soon too. So something that it'll be coming very soon. You'll see it on my social stuff on Instagram and Twitter. You'll see something that's coming very soon. So check all that shit out. Thank you guys for listening. Of course, I appreciate you. Like I said, again, don't be a dick, but always remember that the geeks shall inherit the earth.